I'm Willow Belden. A proposal to test water quality at oil and gas wells before and after drilling is making its way through the rulemaking process. The governor's office and industry hope it will answer some of the questions surrounding groundwater contamination near oil and gas development. But as Wyoming Public Radio's Stephanie Joyce reports, the rule may not actually be able to answer the question of who's responsible if contamination occurs, and that has some people questioning whether it's valuable at all.
The rule has been touted as the strongest in the country, but Bob Laresh with the Powder River Basin Resource Council says just because it's better doesn't mean it's good.
It really just doesn't do anything. It's kind of a phony sham of a regulation as far as I'm concerned.
Laresh says the rule is too limited in scope. It proposes testing water wells for a wide range of metals and a handful of petroleum derivatives, but not the many chemicals that are used in hydraulic fracturing. Laresh says in light of that, it only serves to muddy the issue of who's responsible for groundwater contamination when it occurs.
Let's have some proof one way or another, and not this phony thing that makes people feel warm and fuzzy but doesn't really prove anything.
In order to get that kind of proof, Laresh would like to see a requirement that companies include a unique tracer in the fluids they use for fracking. That way, it would only take one test to pinpoint the source of contamination. Right now, commercially available tracers can cost tens of thousands of dollars, and almost all of them involve radioactive elements. But that might not be the case in 6 months. Several companies are developing products that would act as fingerprints for frack fluid. In North Carolina, the state is considering regulations that would exempt drillers from certain testing requirements if they use a tracer. But that's not on the table in Wyoming. Jeremiah Reiman, the governor's natural resources advisor, says as it stands, the proposed rule isn't just about figuring out how fracking affects water. It's focused more broadly on understanding water quality.
This isn't a rule that deals with the drilling process, but that doesn't mean we won't go there. We did hear comments about it, and we need to evaluate that before we make a final determination.
Even though the proposed rule doesn't require testing for all of the possible frack fluid components, Reiman says it will provide a lot of good information about what's in people's water, information that isn't currently available.
Particularly those constituents that might be a true harm to health and human safety and those that potentially could be explosive.
Written comments submitted to the Wyoming Oil and Gas Conservation Commission suggest most people agree with that approach, that something is better than nothing. Amber Wilson is the Environmental Quality Coordinator for the Wyoming Outdoor Council.
There can't be anything more confusing about getting more information. I think that can only go towards helping to form better decisions in the future.
The Outdoor Council does want to see some tweaks to the proposed rule, including a lower sampling threshold for methane, the explosive gas that's been linked to groundwater contamination from oil and gas drilling in Pennsylvania. But Wilson says just because the rule isn't perfect doesn't mean it shouldn't move forward.
We do think it can be improved, but it can't be improved if it doesn't pass. So we have to start somewhere.
The oil and gas industry sees the rule as a compromise, too. John Robitaille is the vice president of the Petroleum Association of Wyoming. He says association members aren't happy with some details of the proposed rule. In particular, they'd like to get rid of the second round of post-drilling tests. They also want to only test wells within a quarter mile of the drilling pad, as opposed to the half mile currently proposed. But Robitaille says, generally speaking, the rule is a good idea.
We're hearing over and over and over that people believe that our activities are disrupting their groundwaters. If we test prior and post-drilling, then if nothing changes, then it's very clear that no, in fact, by doing what we do, we're not disrupting your groundwater.
But some experts say exonerating the oil and gas industry isn't going to be that easy. Kevin Shugg is a professor of chemistry at the University of Texas, Arlington, and he led a major study of water quality near oil and gas wells in that state. They tested for a wide range of contaminants, including frack fluid constituents. They didn't find those, but they did find elevated levels of arsenic in wells within 5 kilometers of oil and gas drilling pads. Since arsenic isn't used in the drilling process, Shugg says that suggests there may be indirect ways that drilling is causing contamination, ones that wouldn't be detected by simply adding a tracer to frack fluid. Wyoming's rule only deals with direct causes. For example, arsenic isn't part of the proposed testing. Shugg says while he understands there are economic constraints, limiting what's tested for now is a mistake.
You can only be so, prescient in seeing what the data is, and you just don't want to be coming back and saying, oh, I wish we had sampled for something else.
Because then we're back where we are now, just out lots of money. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Stephanie Joyce.